Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
I always love when we get a chance to check in with Brett Kissel. We have something in common. You're joining me from your home office. I'm still working at home in my home office. So we got that going on. How are things, man?
They're really good, Shiloh. And you know what? In this day and age, you know, with Zoom calls and phone calls, I'm really appreciative that you can be literally on the other side of the country in your home office and we can still connect. And I hope you're doing good too.
I love it. Now, you were just saying, I gotta share this story. You bought the kids a pony. I think that's the coolest thing. I always wanted a pony as a kid, never had one. But now your kids obviously are loving it. Tell us about Tony the pony.
Okay, well, first things first, if you ever want to come and spend some time with a pony, I mean, you just come out here to Alberta, Shiloh, and Tony's a beauty. Like, just, he's a great, great little pony, and I can't take the credit for being the guy who bought it. My wife, Cecilia, she's like, hey, you know, I really think now that we've got this land, you know, we should get the kids a pony. And I said, do you realize how much work horses are and ponies and stuff like that? She's like, hey, you're on the road. You're out there traveling across Canada. She says, don't you worry about it. She says, I think we're going to get this pony. And I said, when? So, okay, all right. So I agree. Let's get a pony. When do you want to get it? Well, he shows up today. So I'm like, oh, so you didn't even give me a choice here. So my wife, she bought a pony off of Facebook Marketplace. And Tony the Pony has been the greatest in our family. And my Leo is out there right now with flip-flops, shorts, an Edmonton Oilers jersey, and a cowboy hat, and he's trying to saddle up Tony the Pony.
I love that. And yeah, no choice. It was coming no matter what. I love
my wife is so crafty like that, where she says, hey, what do you think about da-da-da-da-da? And she just waits for my answer. And I should be smart enough after, you know, 11 years or 12 years of marriage. I don't know how long we've been married, but to be like, you know what, sweetheart? Like, okay, are you saying this because you've already done it? You've already booked the trip? You've already bought the pony? You know,
well, and the only thing worse than that would be just you coming back from the road and there being a pony in your, I just imagine like you pulling up after like being out there for a long time and you're like, is this my house? There's a pony here. Is this where I live?
Well, it happened in terms of a renovation. I mean, this is a couple months ago, and I found out on Instagram that Cece and her sister Stella and Stella's wife Flo, that the three of them took apart the kitchen. They took the cabinets off the wall. They took a gooseneck and a hammer and everything like that. They uprooted all the tile and they decided, yeah, you know what? While I was gone, they took the kids to Guido's, which is my dad, and Ukrainian, so we call him Guido. So they took the kids to Guido and they started renovating the kitchen while I was gone. So it's not the first and it ain't going to be the last.
I love that. You were just out on the road. Last time I chatted with you, you were in Ontario doing some show rehearsals, so getting ready for the summer. Is that a grueling process? Like, is it as difficult as it sounds? Like, are you just in there every day with the band and the crew getting ready to go?
You know what? It never used to be grueling. It never used to be difficult. But this time around, it really was. And actually, I had kind of pushed myself so hard in rehearsals thinking that I can just get back on the saddle or get back on, you know, on the horse and ride after 2 years of really not singing hard. And when I say singing hard, is that's just how I sing. That's how I entertain. I go out there, and after doing that for, you know, an entire week, about seven straight days, and then going into that first show of Peterborough, I blew my vocals. I blew my vocal cords, and my specialist, and I ended up having to cancel three shows or postpone three shows right after. So it was a very, very scary situation. And my doctor had said, hey man, like you've got vocal, you know, some nodules on your vocal cords on the left and the right. So, and I still got them. And the only way to get them down is, you know, essentially either surgery or a lot of rest. So, I mean, for me, it's a scary situation to be in. And when you're talking about rehearsal, I just think I was irresponsible mentally thinking that I could just get back in the saddle. Whereas instead of just a week prior to the shows, I should have been doing this for months and getting ready and practicing and doing vocal warm-ups and doing vocal therapy, because, you know, I used to think I was invincible. And it was proven to me in Ontario, Shiloh, that I'm nowhere near.
Wow. And neither one of those options are good options for a country artist or any artist. I mean, surgery puts you out of commission for a while, and rest is not really an option either. So that's going to be a long, hard think for you, isn't it? That's going to be one that you're going to struggle with, to figure out what's the best option.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I've leaned on a bunch of my friends in the business who've either been through it or, you know, are really great singers. I mean, I would have never thought to even go to see an ear, nose, and throat specialist. I would have thought, you know, just rest and drink a lot of water and, you know, can get back in the saddle. But Jess Moskaluk, who was my touring partner on that run of shows, I mean, I've said it publicly and I've said it privately. I think that she's the best mm-hmm. vocalist, you know, in this business. She's such an incredible singer. And I'm so grateful that she's like, no, you need to go see this guy. You go give this person a call. They will scope your throat. So they put the tube in my nose and all the way down to, you know, the vocals. And they're like, yeah, man, like you've got nodes on your vocal cords, which are basically like calluses from improper use and overuse. So for me, I have to be very, very careful. I really don't want surgery. So I'm just trying to rest. It's tough. I own a vodka company, but I haven't had a drink in a couple of weeks. And now I just have to be really conscious, you know, and really responsible. So it's an interesting era in my life right now to you know, have to be so well behaved.
I wish I could remember which artist it was that my dad was here from Ontario, and we were driving around and he was listening to, I don't know, whatever that on Sirius XM is, like the vinyl station where they play all the cool classic rock.
Oh yeah, and, absolutely.
And there was a guy who was saying that he sings every week. If he's not on tour, if he is on tour, he'll sit in front of the piano. He'll sit in front and he'll sing because it's like a muscle and you need to keep working it out. And I guess that was a tough lesson. And I think artists are going to go through that because we haven't seen artists stretching their vocals for 2 years.
Well, exactly. And for me, I'm really grateful to have learned the lesson, and I like to think as positive as I can. So I'm grateful for the lesson that I learned in that time frame. And as sad and disappointing and frustrating as it was to have to move, you know, 3 or 4 shows, I'm grateful that I didn't have to do it when it was 30 or 40 shows. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that it wasn't, you know, it could have been worse. But the reality is that, you know, I think later this week we're going to issue a statement and say, until we figure out how we're going to come back and play these venues, because of course they're booked up. They're booked up for years now. I think what I'm just going to do is I'm going to give everybody their money back, which is tough because when the money comes in, I use that money. I get the bus, I get the production, I do everything. So, I mean, it's going to be a massive financial hit to me. But it's the right thing to do is to give that money back until we figure things out. So it's an expensive lesson to learn, but a valuable one.
I just want to hug you from all fans of country music or any live music, because so many concert promoters and things have been painted in kind of a bad light. I mean, people are still fighting for refunds from 2 years ago, and to hear an artist say that's tremendous, man. And I know that's going to be a huge hit. But I think people need to know that that's happening and probably are going to respect you so much more for it. And you're going to go back out and play those dates. There's no question. But all right, let's talk about dates. Centerfield Music Festival is coming up. It's very special. Your hometown. So what's it like to go back and play this festival? And do you play? You seem to play it. I mean, it's been a couple of years, I guess, since it's been. But you play it every year, correct?
Well, for the most part, I mean, when I first started the festival, we called it the Hometown Homecoming, and then we changed it up to Centerfield Music Festival to have, you know, a bit more of a ring to it, so that it could kind of generalize and we can invite many great artists. Mm-hmm. We've had Cor Blund and James Barker Band, perform Carolyn Dawn Johnson, Loverboy, Trooper. It's been really special to have, you know, the great Canadian rock acts, the great Canadian country acts play this festival. I played the first 2 years, and then my goal was to come back for year number 5, take 2 years off, let James Barker Band headline a night, you know, let Emerson Drive headline a year, and then I will come back and play the 5th year. So the 5th year, Shiloh, was supposed to be 2020. Well, that didn't work out.
No.
But don't worry, Shiloh, because 2021, we're going to play it too. Oh, well, yeah, that didn't work out either. So now it will have been a full 5 years since I've been back to Centerfield you know, with that 2-year break. So I'm really now, or sorry, a 4-year break. So I'm really excited to hit the stage because we have to make up for lost time after what we went through over the last 2 years. But then also there are so many songs, Shiloh, that I've never played live in St. Paul from my hometown. Make a Life, Not a Living, Drink About Me, She Drives Me Crazy, Anthem. I didn't have any of these songs when I played there last. Wow. So it's really special that I get a chance to you know, play these tracks now.
Is it interesting when you go back to your hometown to look out? And I guess I never know what you guys can see from stage and what you can't, but is it interesting to see people? And do you get distracted when you're playing like your hometown? Because you'll see these people you haven't seen in a while. Maybe it's someone you went to school with, or a teacher, or something. Is it distracting, or can you actually see people from stage?
Well, you know, it's I'll describe it this way to you. It's a beautiful distraction because for me, I'm the kind of guy who wants to make sure that I do have a lot of lights that cover that can brighten the crowd. So if I'm in an arena or a festival and it's, you know, 10:30 or 11 p.m. at night, I still want to see the crowd so I can see signs, I can see people, I can see if they're enjoying. I want to be able to point out certain guys, you know, the rednecks with the mullets and the, you know, the girls who might be on a bachelorette party. I want to see everything. So when it's the hometown show, I love looking out and saying, oh my God, that's Mrs. Lescue, my grade 8 teacher. And she's here. Wow, that is so great. And it may spark an opportunity to tell a story about when I was in the 8th grade. Or it's really cool to look at and be like, you've got to be kidding me. That's Joanne Turnovoy. And she is the president of the Ukrainian Greek Orthodox, you know, cultural center. And she and my Baba used to make pierogies together for the, you know, the Ukrainian pierogi bake sales and stuff like that. So it's really cool to look out and see all of these people, or to see buddies from high school, to say like, wow, you know what, we drank beer together, you know, before we could even drink beer together when we were 17 and sneaking out, you know, in his dad's garage, or, you know, my dad's garage. And here we are, you know, a bunch of years later, and they bought a ticket to come and see me play. It's very special. So I love giving people shout outs from stage.
98 degrees, man. So when I first heard that, I was like, that's such a weird combination, but you guys sound so good together.
Thank you.
Were you a fan? Like, were you caught up in, you know, the 98 degrees back in the early 2000s, late 90s?
So to a degree, I was. Now, I'm not the super fan that I've seen, you know, spending time with the guys. There are some super fans for country artists that are pretty, you know, high level super fans. But they don't compare anything to the way that the super fans are, you know, for 98 degrees. So the reality is I'm a fan of theirs. I love their hits. And I remember there used to be these compilation records that would come out like Much Dance 2000 or Now Hits, you know, 1999. Mm-hmm. And so when I was 11, 12, 13, and I really started to understand that if I played Johnny Cash for a girl, she'll appreciate it. But that ain't gonna, you know, she's probably not gonna give me a kiss at the junior high party if I'm playing Johnny Cash or George Strait. But if you play I Do Cherish You by 98 Degrees, then all of a sudden, all the girls in junior high are loving what you're doing. So yes, I learned some 98 Degrees songs, you know, for that reason, because everybody was just infatuated by the band. But it wasn't until I met them in 2017 at the Much Music Video Awards in Toronto where I had an opportunity to really get to know these amazing human beings. And these guys are phenomenal. And the fact that they decided that they're going to dip their toes, you know, into the waters of country music with me is something I'm extremely grateful for.
I love that Much Music is part of two stories with them, because I also had Much Dance 2000 and I wore it out, man. I listened to that so much when I was, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And then at the Much Music Video Awards, you met them for the first time. Now, how did you call them? Was it management that called them and asked if they would do your song? How did that work?
So this is exactly how it happened. I wrote the song Ain't the Same with Tim Nichols and Karen Kozowski, and we loved the song and how it really turned out. We knew that we needed some some really great harmony vocals on the song to take it to the next level. So when I had sent it to Jim Kressman, my manager and agent, I said, what do you think of this? Like, you know, is it one of these things where we should probably take 98 Degrees up on their offer, which was small talk, but I'm the guy who always takes people up on it in terms of, they're like, yeah, man, you know, if you ever find yourself in LA, or yeah, man, if you ever find yourself in Honolulu, which is where Nick Lachey lives, he's like, we should do something together. Well, I felt we had the song that would be perfect to do something together. So with that being said, Jim did send it to Jeff Timmons of 98 Degrees. He sent it to Nick Lachey. Nick sent it to Justin. Justin sent it to Drew. Drew sent it to management. And I kid you not, Shiloh, within about 24 hours or less, they're like, we love the song. We're going into the studio tomorrow. We're all together. We'll do the second verse and we'll add some harmonies. Like, usually, Shiloh, you need to get a lawyer involved. You need to get your producer, record label, management. No. These guys are like, we love the song. We're in. We'll sort it out later. So it was pretty special that they love the song the way that they did.
That is incredible. That never happens that fast. I mean, heck, no, or never does. Figuring out what you're going to eat. You know, if there's a bunch of guys in a room, it doesn't take, you know, it takes longer than that. So good job on that. That's
they're the guys who get the credit. I mean, I'm, like I said, like I am so grateful that they said yes to this, and having gotten to know them, you know, over the last, you know, several weeks and months leading up to this single, they've told me, and they've not told me any of the artists, but they've told me that there are, have been, you know, at least a couple times every year, someone from the country music space says, hey, we should do a duet together. Hey, we should do something together. Hey, we should do something together. And they've said no every time, simply because they haven't found the right song. So the fact that, you know, I was able to write a song that, I guess, to use a country reference, crank their tractor, I'm pretty grateful for that, you know?
I want to ask, I'll let you run in a second, but I got to ask you about the CCMAs. They're special. All the award shows that you're part of, the Alberta Music Awards and stuff, the Country Music Awards. But is it more special in some ways to win a Juno because it's a national award? And not a lot of country artists win those. That's pretty special. It has to be.
It certainly is. And I mean, it's very difficult to say that, you know, one is more special than the other, because they all have a very, very important, I think, role to play in an artist's career. Getting any type of recognition like that is extraordinary. But that Juno is essentially our Grammy Awards. So you only have one category. That's it. One category for country music. Yet they give out, you know, 60 or 70 Junos throughout, you know, in the year. So only one is going to go to a country artist. So the fact that, you know, I was celebrated in that way and recognized in that way is about the best feeling you can have, if not the very best feeling, as a Canadian artist. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And to be honest, and as I'm talking to you right now, I mean, I'm looking at this Juno that I won back in 2014, the first one that I ever won, and realizing like, wow, this is much more than just a glass trophy. It represents something significant in my life.
You did a typical Brett Kissel thing when you won the Juno, and you do it with everything. Is you surround yourself with your team, and it really it always blows my mind. It's never just about you, right? It's like your pictures are always with the people who helped make that happen, and I think people need to appreciate that about Brett Kissel. Is it's never been just you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and you're right. It is such an extraordinary team effort that the easiest part of the day, the best part of the day for me, the best part of my job is that 90 minutes or 2 hours when I'm on stage, because that's when the world just fades away and all the work, all the effort, it has all come to this point where I can just get up on stage and sing a song that, you know, fills me up with so much joy, like Make a Life, Not a Living, or It All Started with a Song, or 3, 2, 1, and the list goes on. But when you get that trophy and they call your name, yeah, I mean, people need to understand that your producers, your band, your crew, everybody who's a part of this ecosystem, mm-hmm. And this environment that we've created together, I didn't create it for them. We created this together. It's an amazing thing to celebrate, because Yeah, it's a weird thing. If to use a hockey reference, they give the Stanley Cup to the captain to hold on to it first. But if you think about it, last year, the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. It would be like saying, here you go, and the Stanley Cup winner is Steven Stamkos. Well, no. Here, this Stanley Cup is a team effort. That's why you celebrate it. So I've really tried hard to create the culture so that even though, I guess, on the Juno Award, it does say Brett Kissel along the bottom, I make sure that everybody has an opportunity to understand and feel that, okay, this is our award. And if we're lucky enough to win another trophy one of these days, I'll continue doing the exact same thing.
You're playing a lot of dates this year. I'm sure you're getting back out on the road. People can just check out your tour dates. Anything special, like anything not special, anything big coming? Like where are people going to see you this summer?
Well, you know what? Obviously center field is huge. To play in my hometown is really the best thing ever. But another extraordinary moment for me is going to be, sorry about that. I'm pacing around the house and I tripped over a tambourine.
Of course you did. Of course.
I mean, a house of music, some bells and a tambourine. Okay. Let me try to collect my thoughts, Shiloh. Jeez. Sorry. One of the shows that I'm really excited about is to play at this country music festival in Voghera, Italy. It's called Voghera Country Fest. We were supposed to play this back in 2019, but they actually had changed the date and they said, look, you know, we're going to get our feet under us and we're going to do this in 2020. Same old story. 2020 didn't happen. 2021 didn't happen. So now this is a festival that's 3 years in the making that we're going to get a chance to play in the northwestern part of Italy. So to bring my brand of country music, you know, internationally is a pretty big deal and something I'm really excited about.
I don't know how you'd ever play a show in Italy because I would be so full. I just want to eat all the food. And when it came time to sing, I would just, they had to roll me out on stage. I've never been to Italy, but I can just imagine that's what would happen.
Well, you know what? You're not wrong. And I'm here to tell you that, I've been very lucky to, you know, be able to travel and play. And in France, the same thing. You know, you have this beautiful and they just give you like a dressing room in, I don't know, let's pick a Canadian date. A dressing room in Thunder Bay is you've got your water, you've got your probably a little meat and cheese tray and a little, you know, Safeway or Sobeys fruit tray. Mm-hmm. And that's good. And that's all I need. I'm not fussy. But when you're in France or Italy or Belgium or Switzerland, you've got this unbelievable charcuterie board, and then you've got the best white wine, the best red wine you've ever had in your life, and then you're expected to go play a show after same thing, after you just have all of these amazing treats. It's pretty special.
I can't imagine. There'd be some belching going on at some point. Like just, oh, mute the mic. Listen, Brett, thank you very much for doing this. It's always nice to catch up, and I can't wait to see you at some point in 2022. I'm hoping, maybe.
Yeah, so. I'm hoping so too. It might be the Canadian Country Music Awards, or maybe we're just going to have to book a show and come out and spend some time with you out on the East Coast.
I would love it. Brett, thank you.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.